We're going to stay. We're not going to go to the breath until next week. For those of you that already use the breath as your that already use the breath as your meditation, then you know go right ahead and stay with it. It's fine. But we're going to practice with a little bit of the stillness here, but I'm not going to use the breath as our anchor yet. I'm just going to give us one more week before we actually turn to the breath. Is so subtle that some of you are used to it and you can feel it quite nicely, but some of you are not, and the breath is also tied to our autonomic nervous system, and so it can trigger a lot of dis-ease and dysregulation. And so we're going to take one more week before we actually go there. I want to read a poem though. That's not the one we're going to read. Finding these poems that I like, but yeah, this one might work. It's called A Brief Détente by Rosemary Tromer. From across the pond, the doe and I regard each other. She with her enormous brown eyes, I with my hands full of empty. We take turns pretending we're not watching each other, but we are aware of each other's slightest move. She goes back to her eating. I go back to shaking the dried iris pods to see if they rattle. They do. She startles, but does not run to the trees. I am oddly relieved. As she interests herself again in the grass spiking out of the snow. All day, a feeling of doom has settled in me, a heavy, unshakable dark. It doesn't lessen because of the doe, but perhaps it does. She lifts her head again for something I do not hear or see, and I too tense before we return to the fragile moment. This small act of trusting each other, witnesses to the cold in the air, the ice already cured on the pond, the day losing whatever color it had left, the iris seeds spilling their dark, laden praise atop the snow. That's the poem I want to send us into our meditation with. Because there's a way in which when we're trying to practice, it's fragile. We're not quite sure. Nothing's actually happening. It really is that we're just sitting here doing nothing. There's no big stimulating thing. Quite simple. So we can start by just noticing sound. And you can stay with these sounds. Just bringing you here to this hearing. Whichever is the kind of the felt sense of not thinking about, not caring about the sound. Just hearing and being aware that there are sounds coming and going. And if you want, you can turn your attention. Those of you that want to stay with sound, you can stay there. Or those of you that want, can turn your attention to the felt sense of the body sitting. You can feel your feet on the floor. Maybe you feel your butt in the chair, the back of the chair or the sofa. You'll be noticing where your hands are. To see if you can feel the heaviness of the body, all the skin and flesh, heavy, weighted here. And you can actually let go of holding yourself up and letting this body just sit. It holds itself up if we just let our muscles relax. But you can feel through the feet, the flesh, the skin, all the way to the actual felt sense of the bone, the hardness of the sit bone sitting on the chair. If your hands are touching the hardness of the finger bone, arm bone, feet bone, floor. Feel the torso bone, the skeleton, the rib, the big thigh bone.
Mama, where'd the daddy go?
All we want to do is notice this experience of sitting here and return our attention to it as a felt experience, as an embodied felt experience of sitting here. Noticing we're sitting, felt experience of just sitting here. That's basically what we're steadying our attention on. What we're steadying, felt sense of sitting. We could do it with sound, and we could do it with the sensation of the body sitting. As we're sitting here, you might notice something. Just sitting here, nothing's happening, felt experience. But you might also notice quality of what we call feeling tone, a sense of pleasure or a sense of unpleasant or neutral, neither pleasant nor unpleasant. You can notice that it's sound, pleasant, soothing, pleasing. Or if it's a sound that you don't like, it could be unpleasant, not pleasing, irritating. We're just sitting here noticing that. You might notice sensations are pleasant or they're unpleasant or needed. Maybe the felt sense of sitting in the chair is achiness in the back or across the shoulders. You may also notice thinking. You might notice some thoughts that are unpleasant, thoughts that are pleasant. We're just sitting here, noticing and returning to this felt sense experience of sitting in the chair, sitting on the sofa, not doing anything, anchored to this moment. But we're open and interested, curious about this feeling tone of a sense of pleasant, unpleasant and needed. And notice where it's neutral. Like maybe the upper arms are neutral. I don't feel pleasant or unpleasant. Maybe the top of the head is neutral. Right. Notice the top of the head. Not pleasant, not pleasant, not unpleasant, just neutral. We can get curious, interested in something as simple as, is this pleasant or unpleasant? I'm just sitting here, aware that I'm sitting. Nothing to do. Just getting interested in the experience. Is it pleasant? Is it unpleasant? Is it neither? Notice a lot of thinking. Don't worry about it. Just notice, is it pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? Right, so we are going to take some time to get up and do some walking, but I am hoping you can keep where you're at and not lose it, so that you can stay with this felt sense of pleasant and unpleasant and neither when you're walking. Walking, you can keep your anchor as sound, or let your anchor be the sensation. And if you let it be sensation or sound, then can you still be with noticing whether there's a pleasant, an unpleasant, or neither? I'll give us some instructions as we're going. So 10 paces, just find a place to walk and stay here with your walking, and I'll sit here and give the instructions. All right, keeping our attention with the movement or the felt sense of the feet touching the ground or the carpet. Maybe you notice it's pleasant, this walking, or maybe you notice that it's unpleasant. Just see if you can keep walking, but notice the sense of unpleasantness, or notice the sense of pleasantness. There's nothing to do about it. Just notice that this experience of walking has a feeling tone, a sense of pleasure, a sense of unpleasantness, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Notice if it changes. Pleasant sometimes, and then it just becomes unpleasant. Or maybe it's neither, and then it becomes pleasant. See if you can stay with this experience of the felt sense of walking and the felt sense of the feeling tone while you're walking. staying here, staying with the walking, staying with the movement, this moment, quiet. Even if the mind is talking, you're still walking or you're sitting. So you feel the felt sense of the posture and just notice, does the thinking have a quality of pleasant? Does it have a quality of unpleasant? Or does it have the quality of neutral? Does it stay like that? Does it change? This felt sense of walking, this felt sense of movement. Is it pleasant? Is that what you'd call it? Would you call it unpleasant? Would you call it neither? So in this experience, the felt sense of walking, you're anchored to that. I feel this walking, body, feet touching the ground. But I'm aware that it's unpleasant. What are you noticing about this unpleasant? Do you get a sense that you don't want to do it? Don't like it for some reason, you don't like it. Or maybe you're thinking about a whole bunch of stuff and you completely lost the connection with the walking. And all the stuff you're thinking about is unpleasant. Don't like it, don't want it. And you just notice that. Notice the connection between unpleasant and not liking, not wanting. Maybe you're feeling this walking and peaceful and pleasant. You feel the body, you feel the sensation of walking, And you're aware that this feels pleasant. What is the mind thinking? Can you notice the liking, wanting this? Maybe the walking is neutral. Don't even care, not even noticing it. But I do notice pleasant in the mind, liking, wanting, thinking. Our experience can be mixed with all kinds of pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral feeling tone. For both the physical and the mental. We just want to notice it. Come back to our seats here. The skill that we're going to cultivate for this week is curiosity. It's interest in. So just like a lot of you were talking about a lot of things that you're noticing, there's a way in which our natural human tendency is to fix what we don't like, grab a hold and keep what we like, and ignore everything else. What that looks like in meditation is, as soon as we feel something unpleasant, we want to immediately get rid of it, fix it, make it right. If we feel something pleasant, we want to hold on to it and we don't want it change or leave. And we just ignore all the neutral. But as you're relaxing into just being with the present moment, this quality of neutral, pleasant and unpleasant can spin us and push us in all kinds of directions. It's so habitual that it just pushes us all over the place. And the Buddha, when he sat down and he practiced this and he watched, what he noticed was there were five impulses. I don't like calling them hindrances. They're five hindrances. But what they really are five impulsive reactions that we have. And in order for us to learn how to be still and steady with whatever's coming up so we can discern the appropriate way to respond, we need to learn how to be with and steady ourselves with these five impulses. The first impulse, but wait, before I tell you about the impulses, I want to share a little bit about why I think it's important that we learn to steady ourselves with these impulses. So what I began to notice when I started meditating, and I started meditating more from an embodied perspective, is that I would be in what I think you could call applying mode. I just kept applying what I knew, like a habit. We learn something in life, and once we learn it, it's like tying our shoes. When you're learning to tie your shoes, it takes, I got a 3-year-old granddaughter, it takes forever. We have to save that extra time just so we can go through the tying of the shoes process. Because learning something takes a little while. It takes some back and forth, some awkwardness, not knowing quite what to do. It's slow going. But for most of us, we can tie our shoes 2 seconds. We don't even think about it. We tie it and we don't even think, notice what we're doing. So the act of learning something is much more, it's slower. It takes more. We have to be steady and wait till we get through it, till we begin to learn it. But once we learn it, the mind will apply it instantly and it will come easy. What we want to practice over the next week is learning mode. We want to learn what's happening, learn what's going on when the mind feels something pleasant and when the mind feels something unpleasant and when the mind thinks it's nothing, it's neutral. We want to learn what it does, because what it does is it has basically 5 impulsive reactions. The first one is desire. Whenever we experience anything pleasurable, we want it to stay. We immediately try to grab onto it and figure out how we can keep it. It's like a good way to think about desire is it's the wanting. You want something. You want the meditation to end. You want to feel good. You want this to work. You want to be peaceful. All of this want. As soon as the mind gets still, all this wanting comes up. It doesn't have anything to do with us. It is because we are cultivated to be stimulus beings. And so as soon as we get still, the mind is trying, our minds, we are trying to think of something to do, because it seems wasteful to just sit there and do nothing. On the flip side of that, if the mind is not wanting, it's not wanting. So either it wants the bell to end or it doesn't want the bell to end. Either it wants to stay or it doesn't want to stay. It doesn't want to do this. It doesn't like this. It doesn't like that. It likes or it doesn't like. This is the kind of the movement that we live in life with. It's so habitual that we immediately push away everything we don't like. We don't even think about it. We just push it away. If I don't even know I feel something. I don't even know that I don't like it. I can't even tell sometimes when I'm cold. I practice a lot with getting cold because I hate being cold when I'm meditating. So I practice a lot feeling cold so that I can feel that sense of wanting to put a blanket on or wanting not to be cold or wanting to turn the heat on, just so I can feel the edge of that, because it's very hard to feel when we don't like something, the impulse to push it away, or when we like something, the impulse to grab it and hold it. It's hard for us to see that. When we sit still, we see it. But when we're walking around our everyday life, we don't just see it, we just react to it. The second two energies has to do with our energy flow. So if we get too much energy, like you're trying really hard to meditate, you can stir up a lot of restlessness, a lot of upbeat energy. Or sometimes it comes because as soon as we sit still, the body stirs up a lot of energy. I'm going to tell you about that in just a second, but stirs up a lot of energy. So that energy starts coming, and that restlessness, immediately we don't like it and we try to get rid of it. On the flip side, we're running so much that we can sit down and the body's like, finally, already she's going to sit down. And as soon as we sit down, we get sleepy because we're running so much that as soon as we sit down, the body's like, yes, this is the time to go to sleep. So we want to meditate, but the body goes to sleep. And then the final fifth impulse is to not trust what's happening, to think I'm not doing it right, to think that, oh, wait, well, how am I supposed to be doing this? Because I'm not feeling good. So what is supposed to happen? I don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing here. This can't be what meditation is. Surely I'm doing something wrong. And we get caught in these five impulses: desire, aversion, or resistance. Desire is any kind of wanting. Aversion, this resistance, is any kind of not wanting, not liking, or liking is desire. Restlessness is also attached to worry, planning. The mind just starts doing something to fill up the time. Sleepiness, it's called sloth and torpor. But we look at it and see it as sleepiness or spacing out, daydreaming. Oh, what? I was meditating. Oh, yeah. Or doubt, this kind of non-trusting because we don't understand what's going on. These five things happen to every single practitioner ever to walk the face of the earth. All the millions of monks, millions of nuns, all the great practitioners, all the way up to Buddha himself. That's how we know that these five things haunt us as practitioners. I've been practicing for 30 years and they don't go away. So this is not about how do I get rid of the hindrance. This is about learning to see the hindrance, as a impulse, as a reactivity. And when we can see it as a reactivity, we don't necessarily have to follow it. So when you notice this the most is an itch. You will notice, I feel some itching. And many of you, as me, will say, oh, I'm just going to scratch it. So you just scratch it without even thinking. You just scratch it. It's an itch. Itches are supposed to be scratched, so you just scratch it. And 2 seconds later, well, there's another itch. Scratch that. Oh, okay. Ooh. And then 2 seconds later. And before you know it, every couple of seconds, you got another itch somewhere. But then give it a try. Itch is there. Don't scratch it. Just sit there. Itch. It's just an itch. Not going to die. The mind will freak out. It'll be itch, 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 itch. But you're just not going to scratch it, right? No. okay, it's an itch. Can I just try to see? It's unpleasant. Clearly, I don't like it, but I'm not going to die. You don't scratch the itch. It goes away. It's like, what happens? If I don't scratch it, was it an itch? Really? It doesn't make any sense. It just goes away. It settles. Some things are bigger and they don't just go away and settle. I'm using the itch as an example. That's a great example to begin to learn how to be, how to notice these impulses. You may feel the need to move. Oh, I gotta stretch my leg out. I gotta move. You can move if you want to. This is not a practice where you're taught not to move. But before you move, wait a few minutes. See if this need to move is really because you are sitting uncomfortable or your leg is getting numb, or is this some wanting to move just because you need to do something because I'm tired of just sitting here doing nothing. Wait and see. You're learning. There's no right way, wrong way with these hindrances. They will be with you always in your practice, but gradually they lose their intensity. If you want to sit, one of the main desires is checking the clock, because you're sitting there and you're going to say, okay, I'm going to sit for 20 minutes. Set my timer, got my 20 minutes. And then I'm going to sit. 3 minutes into it, you check the clock. Has it been 20 minutes? Okay, it's only been three minutes. Okay, so then we try it again and we keep sitting. Oh, was it? Keep checking. See if you can notice that impulse to check the clock as desire, wanting to know what time it is, wanting to know it's almost over. It's, can you feel the pleasantness or the unpleasantness of that experience? That's what you're trying to see. Can you see? Or when the bell rings and it's over, do you feel pleasant? Do you feel unpleasant? You're noticing these impulses that pull us in life. This is what we're going to be looking at through the whole week. When we are learning, if you're in learning mode, which is what the mode is you're going to be in the learning mode, then everything you notice, every wanting, not wanting, every bit of sleepiness or restlessness or doubt is all necessary for you to learn how to experience these impulses. So there cannot be any understanding that says, I shouldn't be sleepy. If you want to learn about sloth and torpor, you have to be sleepy. So sleepiness is going to help you if you think of it as, I'm learning what is the experience of sleepiness when I'm trying to meditate. Even if you turn around and notice that you're getting irritated because you're so sleepy, you're like, okay, that's necessary. This is learning. I'm learning what resistance is like. The point that I think is more important than whether you're sleepy or whether you're restless or whether you're wanting or not wanting is that you notice that is happening. And not follow it. That's what's important. Not the sleepiness, but the knowing that sleepiness is present and I'm not going to follow it. So if sleepiness is present, I don't want to follow it. But every time I close my eyes, I feel sleepy. Then sit with your eyes open. Stand up. Open your eyes. Look at something in front of you and just keep your eyes open. Sit with your eyes open. Don't sit with your eyes closed. See if that helps with the sleepiness. and see if you can still stay in your window. If you set a meditation period, 20 minutes, and you get sleepy during that 20 minutes and you give up, the mind is learning, I know how to get you. Same way my 3-year-old granddaughter, I know how to get you. All I got to do is get sleepy. And then every time you sit down, it's going to get sleepy because it knows that will get you up. So instead, if you're sleepy, then practice with a sleepy mind for the full 20 minutes. You're sleepy. You try to open your eyes. You try to see, try to sense, try it again. Next thing you know, you're sleepy again. You're daydreaming again. That's okay. Return, noticing the felt sense. I'm just sitting here doing my meditation, doing nothing. That sleepiness, I can feel the unpleasantness, back to sleepy again. Just stay with your sit for however long you originally decide to sit. Because you are training the mind that no matter how we experience this period, we are going to stay with it. It doesn't matter what this period is like, we're going to stay with it. During your sitting meditation, I think you need at least 20 minutes, if not 30 minutes, setting aside at least 20 minutes a day to just sit still. Just sit still 20 minutes a day. If you can get to 30, that's great. We don't have to get to 30 yet. We'll just try to get to 30 by the end of the class, but 20 minutes just sitting still. No matter what happens. Let me tell you a little bit about restlessness. Oh, here's the thing about sleepiness. Part of the difficulty with sleepiness is when we sit down and we start getting relaxed, we can tend to kind of slump. And that slumping sends the mind a message that says, oh, let's go to sleep. So we're trying to keep ourselves alert and upright. That's why you open your eyes and let some light in. You're trying to keep yourself upright, but not too much, because then you do the opposite with the energy. So there's a natural balance that we're trying to find. Concentration is heavy. It's like settling. And we need energy that's upbeat, upright. So between this settling and relaxing, energy and upright, we got to find this balance. Everyone has to find their own balance. And that's what you're trying to find, is that balance. And you might feel sleepy sometimes, but you're like, oh, that's too much. I got to balance up, balance up. Balance up. If it's physical sleepiness, none of this is going to work. You just need to get some sleep. And the way you can tell whether this is true physical sleepiness or is this just mental is when the meditation's over and the bell rings, are you wide awake? So when you're in your meditation, you can barely keep your eyes open. Bell rings. All of a sudden, oh, okay, well, let's listen now. What do I need to do? And you're off doing whatever you need to do. That'll tell you right there. That's a mental thing. This is not a physical thing. And you have to learn for yourself how to balance this relaxation and alertness. Relax and alert. For the restlessness and worry, there's a quality to it that is very unsettling. But there's two kinds of restlessness and worry. One is the mind just needs stimulation. It's just bored and it needs some stimulation. So we'll go into planning and we'll reminisce and we'll think about things we're going to do in the future and how we're going to, I'm going to say this and I'm going to do this and this. And then it just does all that because it's bored to death. It does not get this whole sitting doing nothing. Surely we can do something with our time. That kind of restlessness really just requires coming back to sitting in the chair. It's like a coming back. We're going to go to the breath next week, but the breath is so subtle, it's hard for people to come back to the breath. But you can come back to, I'm just sitting in the chair. You can even let the mind think. You're sitting in the chair thinking. That's okay. That's present moment experience. Sitting in the chair thinking. I'm just sitting here and I'm thinking. What we're trying to get away from is the restlessness sending us off into thinking and we're over somewhere else. The black people on this call are going to know this little thing I'm telling you. Some of the rest of you might know it also, but there used to be this R&B song, your body's here with me, but your mind is on the other side of town. That's what we're doing with restlessness. We're sitting in a chair here, but our minds is somewhere else. And we are with our minds, not remembering we're in the chair. So if you keep coming back to the chair and remembering you're sitting here, then your mind can be thinking about whatever it's thinking, but you're going to be here in the chair. I'm sitting here thinking. All right, Tori, just sitting here thinking. Feel the body, feel the chair, feel your feet. I'm sitting here thinking. The mind won't enjoy that kind of thinking. The only kind of thinking that we really enjoy is the kind of thinking that takes us somewhere else. And so you will find that if you keep your attention on the body sitting in the chair, that the thinking will begin to subside and you'll just be with the sitting in the chair. But there's another kind of restlessness. And this restlessness is different. And I had to learn about this restlessness. It comes from the way we are as humans. So if you have a dog or you have a pet, and that pet gets a lot of energy, it will shake that energy off. And it just shakes it off without even thinking. All animals do that. As soon as they get overloaded with too much energy, they run, and then they stop and they shake off all the energy they didn't use. Humans do that also. But we do it internally. We don't do the outward shaking. There's a way in which whenever we settle and sit and get still, we're sending a message to our bodies, our minds, and our nervous system, basically saying it's safe to let go of energy. And it starts shaking energy out. It feels like anxiety. It's not a big shake like this, but sometimes it could feel like the whole inside of you is shaking. This is the purification process of mindfulness, meditation, and having a teacher and having a sangha like this class to sit with can help steady you through this process. The 6 to 8 weeks is kind of like what we're trying to help get some of that shaking out so that you steady yourself and you will feel the calmer peace afterward. But especially over the next week or so, you're going to begin to feel uncomfortable in the sitting. It was peaceful, but now it feels uncomfortable. And see if you can just let and trust and say to yourself, this is just a body clearing out old energy. Body clearing out old energy. It needs to do this. And because we're still, it thinks it's okay to do this now. It is okay to do this. But there's some ways you can help the body get rid of old energy. This is how I stopped being so anxious. Yawning in the morning. You know how in society we say, don't yawn. It's so disrespectful. Well, you're at home, so yawn all you can. Yawn and yawn and yawn and yawn. Make yourself yawn, because yawning is a releasing of energy. Yawning releases energy. Farting releases energy. So you're in your home. I don't know if you have other people, but if you got a fart, you're farting. Yawning, nightmares. If you won't release it during the day, the mind will release it. You will be running and doing all these things in your dreams. It's releasing energy that way. And crying is a release. Deep crying and deep breathing. It's really deep breathing, but crying can also be a release. Crying can also stir it up, so crying isn't as safe, but deep breathing, farting, nightmares, yawning, and crying, those are the five that will help you release a lot of energy. Practicing yawning, deep breathing, these are the two that I found were the easiest for me to do, and it helped a lot with the restlessness. So in the mornings, I would just start yawning. And in the morning, it felt kind of foolish because I had pretty much trained myself not to yawn. So I would start yawning, pretending, faking it. But after a while, I would really start yawning. And then I would be yawning and yawning and yawning. But it's helping getting some of the excess energy out. And what we're ultimately going to come to, what brings the stillness in meditation, I think, is the regulation of the body. The body can be very dysregulated and we're used to living with it, but gradually we are bringing our nervous system into regulation, and then it gives us more space to take on stuff, and it is less impulsive, reactive to things. So you're going through a period that feels a little bit like purifying. It's called the purification, but it can feel a little unsettling because you will experience things that are the opposite of what you think meditation is. I should be calm and I feel irritable. I should be still and I feel restless. I feel sleepy. I'm so bored. I don't know. And I just want to encourage you to steady yourself through this and not get too caught up in what you see. You just set your practice and get interested in it. That's why this week, curiosity is the skill. Everything that happens to you this week, get curious about it. Because I can tell just from the comments, you're all right where you're supposed to be. There's going to be a turn here. So get interested in everything that's happening to you. It doesn't matter. Is it pleasant, unpleasant, or neither? Is this one of the five hindrances? What's going on? I noticed something. I don't want that. I don't like that. Oh, that's desire. That's aversion. That's resistance. I see what that is. And then notice how you really don't want it, how the mind really wants to get rid of it. And just practice with this, the questioning, the doubt, the restless, the sleepiness, all of this is all part of this meditative process of you learning to come into the present moment experience and not judge, analyze, evaluate, and, you know, impulsively react to the present moment. So the skill you're working on, you kind of remind yourself all week, you're working on curiosity. You're working on being interested in what you experience the whole week. It doesn't matter. I learned in meditation that I was training the mind in meditation. It didn't matter whether I was on the cushion or off. So get interested in this feeling tones of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, these hindrances, regardless of whether we're, regardless of what is going on with you, regardless of what you're doing. Basically, the mind is always meditating. And so, as long as you're aware of what's going on and interested, you'll be fine with it. All right. Next week, we're going to learn a different skill. Oh, I know what I forgot to tell you. We are in the next 2 weeks. This is about investigation, is what it's called. We're going to investigate what the nature of phenomena in our present moment. And so we need enough concentration. So always stay with that noticing, returning to the felt sense of staying right here. But we are going to learn how to open our kind of, it's like the peripheral vision. We're going to open up our peripheral awareness so that we can see what else is going on besides just sitting here. There's much more going on. Even though we're not used to seeing it, so we don't always know.